And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Rector of Liverpool has quit the Church of England over race, gender and sexuality discrimination. Canon Dr. Crispin Paling left the position he has held for a decade, saying he cannot continue to work in an organisation which perpetuates bias and discrimination against sections of society. Dr. Paling, who was made an MBE for services to the community in December, advocates for same-sex marriage to be treated the same as the marriage of heterosexual couples. In a statement, he blamed institutional validation of homophobic and misogynistic views in the church for his decision. He said, "I cannot in good conscience continue to have a representative role in an organisation which perpetuates bias and discrimination against sections of society on the grounds of sexuality, race and gender. In the last few years, I've seen the institutional validation of homophobic and misogynistic views in the church, and I cannot endorse this." Dr. Paling, who said he would be taking up a role in the charity sector in the summer, added that the obvious and lamentable failure of safeguarding across the church is itself an abuse and a further assault on the image of God. He said, "In contrast to the institutional actions which show such disregard for so many human beings, it seems to me that the majority of individuals and communities across the Church of England speak with the voice of inclusion. I am proud that Liverpool Parish Church continues to make a public declaration of the dignity of all people in the knowledge that we are all made in God's image." His comments come as the Church of England becomes increasingly divided over its stance on same-sex relationships. Last year, the General Synod approved blessings for same-sex couples, and the move was backed by both archbishops. But debate has continued to rage over how the radical update aligns with doctrine that still forbids gay marriage and the ban on clergy entering same-sex civil marriages. The issue has divided progressives and traditionalists within the Church of England for decades and reached a critical point following the landmark move to introduce blessings for gay couples. Dr. Paling was the youngest rector of the church since 1945, when he was appointed in 2014. When the House of Bishops proposed to offer blessings for same-sex couples in January last year, he told the Liverpool Echo that his own church wanted to bring clarity and simplicity to an issue he described as messy and complicated. He said, "From our point of view, it is very clear that marriage between same-sex couples should be treated on the basis and the same equality as between opposite-sex couples." Not everything that happens in the workplace to a Muslim will be related to religion, a tribunal judge has said. Employment judge Kirsty Eyre ruled an NHS consultant was not discriminated against after bosses told her to roll up her sleeves at work in line with hygiene rules. Dr. Farhat Butt, who wears a hijab and covers everything other than her hands, feet and face while in public, said she was racially profiled and then bullied by managers into exposing her forearms. She stepped outside into a hospital corridor, which she believed was a non-clinical area, and meant she didn't have to comply with the bare below the elbow hygiene policy when she was spotted, and an altercation unfolded that escalated very quickly, an employment tribunal heard. She sued the health service for religious discrimination and harassment. However, her claims were dismissed after the tribunal ruled the row did not relate to her being a Muslim. The tribunal heard Dr. Butt worked for an NHS trust in Bradford, but worked one day a week as a visiting consultant ophthalmologist at Airedale General Hospital in Eastbourne, West Yorkshire. On days she works, she carries out ophthalmic surgery. The panel heard there were hand hygiene guidelines in place that required staff to be bare below the elbows to facilitate effective hand hygiene. However, the code says, "While we expect all members of staff in clinical areas to be bare below the elbows, we also recognise the specific needs of our staff on cultural, religious or disability grounds and offers disposable sleeves as a result." This also applied to uniform policy, but Dr. Butt said there was no clear definition of where the non-clinical and clinical areas were. When she is working in what she considers to be a clinical area, she ensures that her arms are bare below the elbow, the hearing was told. However, when she left clinical areas, she would roll her sleeves down so that her forearms were covered. On December the 6th, 2022, she was challenged about not having her sleeves rolled up. After leaving the operating theatre to go to the bathroom to make a phone call, she had her sleeves fully down by the time she was in the corridor. Mary Hitch, the director of nursing, and two other bosses saw Dr. Butt. Mrs. Hitch believed her to have been in the anaesthetic room without her sleeves rolled up, and to get her attention, she raised her voice slightly and said, "Excuse me." She then asked her to roll her sleeves up. This left Dr. Butt upset at being challenged, and this showed in her reaction in an altercation which escalated very quickly and during which voices were raised on both sides. The panel heard Dr. Butt was not happy and very upset at being challenged because she believed she was complying with the policy. After the length of her fingernails was also criticised, Dr. Butt was unable to continue at work and cancelled her operating list for the day. In an email, she said she'd just been racially profiled and bullied into rolling her sleeves up. After no outcome was reached in an informal manner, Dr. Butt escalated her complaint and said the situation, which made her feel targeted, had not been handled professionally or appropriately. She refused mediation, and an independent investigation was launched in March 2023 as she complained of deep-rooted problems with discrimination. A report found Mrs. Hitch's request for Dr. Butt to be bare below the elbows was not racially motivated, but rather a request made to ensure adherence to the policies. However, it was recognised that the incident had been stressful for her and found it was disappointing that the discussion had escalated so quickly. She also complained about an incident on December 13, 2022, when a nurse approached Dr. Butt and instructed her to roll up her sleeves. However, Judge Eyre concluded the initial challenge of Mrs. Hitch was not because of religion and therefore not discriminatory. Not everything that happens in the workplace to a Muslim worker will be related to religion, and Dr. Butt's own evidence was that religion was not discussed on the day, she said. Rather, she gave another reason at the time for not rolling her sleeves up, rather that she believed she was in a non-clinical area of the hospital. We accept the initial challenge was polite and find that the reason matters subsequently became heated was because of Dr. Butt's response to being challenged, combined with Mrs. Hitch's response to her not doing as she was asked. We also find that the reason Mary Hitch initially challenged Dr. Butt was because she genuinely believed she was in breach of the policies. However, she added, the situation was not handled well by either party, and as a result, it escalated quickly. It cannot, however, be said that the escalation was because of religion. There are plenty of altercations that take place in the workplace because both parties become angry and upset, and we find that this was the case here. Hong Kong's Catholics are worried that new legislation means Beijing could bug confessionals, imprison priests, or send in spies to entrap the city's clergy, with one priest saying it was like a knife above your head. The fears come amid another major tightening of already tough national security laws. Article 23 came into force last Saturday, introducing a series of new and vaguely defined crimes, including treason, sabotage, sedition, the theft of state secrets, external interference, and espionage. It was hurriedly passed last week by Hong Kong's Legislative Assembly, coming on top of the 2020 National Security Law, which has already effectively stifled any dissent or opposition to China in the city of 7.4 million. Although it's faced state pressure so far, the church has largely avoided the kind of sweeping detentions politicians, activists, and journalists have faced as part of Beijing's crackdown on civil rights and freedoms. But fears have grown that the sacred seal of confession, a Christian doctrine that forbids priests from sharing anything confessed to them, might be threatened by a provision in Article 23. The new law means anyone who knows that someone has committed treason or plans to do so but fails to report it to the police can be jailed for up to 14 years. People might hesitate to take this sacrament. Priests might end up in prison. Eavesdropping devices might be found in the confessionals, one Hong Kong priest, who asked to speak anonymously out of security concerns, told The Telegraph. For us true believers, we are not scared. We only worry that people in need will not be helped, another priest said, adding that self-censorship was hindering his profession's mission to speak the truth. In reality, we are not able to spread the whole gospel. We are not allowed to speak the whole truth. We are not free to warn our people about the evil of communism and the harms it has done in history, he said. What kind of truth bearers are we if we do not stand up for the truth? That's the main struggle. Another priest told The Telegraph that there are also fears of sting operations. If the government really wanted to, they could essentially send in some spies to confess to the priest. And if the priest says nothing, then they file a report saying, I confess to the priest, and he did not report, they said. I don't think any Catholics would have the courage or would dare to say anything in the confessional that may potentially jeopardize the priest, but it's like there is a knife above your head. These fears mean many priests are exercising self-censorship to avoid any issues. Basically, any criticism against the government is eliminated. You rarely see priests criticizing the government, they said. When asked about the issue earlier this month, Paul Lam, Hong Kong Secretary for Justice, said it would be very difficult to create exceptions for the clergy. The Catholic Diocese of Hong Kong said in a statement last week that it recognizes that citizens have an obligation to ensure national security, but insisted the security law will not alter the confidential nature of confession. But such are the fears around the possibility of prosecution that even expatriate Hong Kongers are taking extra precautions. In Britain, Roy Chan, a pastor at the Good Neighbour Church England, said some of his previously 180-strong congregation were leaving out of fear that spies within the flock could file reports about dissent or possible breaches of the opaque law back to the authorities. In the last few months, some church members have become afraid, asking me not to say things in a political way, or it will become more dangerous for us, he told The Telegraph. Mr. Chan founded the church in London, Birmingham and Manchester after fleeing political repression in Hong Kong, taking his young family into self-exile in 2020. He had led a church of a similar name that was targeted by the authorities after they accused it of supporting the city's pro-democracy movement. The security law brought white terror to the church service, said Mr. Chan, referring to a term used in Hong Kong to refer to creeping rules and the policing of freedom of expression and thought. The phrase has been used to describe multiple periods of political persecution throughout history, but in Hong Kong it normally recalls decades of martial law and repression in nearby Taiwan from 1947 to 1987. Religious leaders say censorship and the avoidance of topics like social justice or human rights has been widespread in Hong Kong's churches since Beijing imposed a sweeping national security law in 2020 to stamp out the anti-government protests that shook the financial hub the year before. At the time, Cardinal John Tong issued a pastoral letter to all clergy advising them to be cautious in their sermons. Article 23 would make the situation worse by creating more tools to accuse people of offences, even without evidence, said Mr. Chan. In a report late last year on threats to freedom of belief, the Hong Kong Watch advocacy group suggested Beijing's hostility towards religion was likely exacerbated by the fact that many of the city's pro-democracy activists were people of faith. Some churches also found themselves on the front line of the demonstrations, offering shelter and comfort to fearful young protesters. Volunteers from Mr. Chan's church were regularly seen lining up quietly as a buffer between protesters and riot officers and trying to play a mediating role. Adultery is set to become legal in the state of New York, with politicians poised to scrap the crime of infidelity among married people. New York is one of 16 states where marital cheating is still a criminal offence. Adultery, which has been on the books since 1907, is a misdemeanor with a maximum penalty of a $500 fine or 90 days in jail. The offence was introduced at a time when adultery was the only way of ending a marriage, and legislators were keen to reduce the number of divorces. The first prosecution, which took place weeks after the law came into effect, involved a married Coney Island investor who left his wife for a 25-year-old woman who was working in the millinery section of a department store. Prosecutions are now extremely rare, with only about a dozen since 1972, with convictions in five cases. The last was in New York in 2010, involving an incident in a park. However, the case was dropped as part of a plea deal. Charles Levine, a Democratic assemblyman, has introduced a bill to decriminalize adultery. Mr. Levine said, "The state has no business regulating consensual sexual behavior between adults." He added, "It just makes no sense whatsoever, and we've come a long way since intimate relationships between consenting adults are considered immoral. It's a joke." This law was someone's expression of moral outrage. This is not the first time attempts have been made to scrap the law. It was brought up as far back as 1964, but the proposals never led to a change in law. The bill has passed through the New York Assembly and is now awaiting approval from the state Senate. With politicians now regarding the law as archaic, the measure is set to be confined to legislative history in New York. The Catholic Church has raised no objection to the proposed change. Dennis Poust, the executive director of New York State Catholic Conference, said, "Adultery is a sin. I don't know if it's a crime." Sales of Easter eggs have slumped by 600,000 in backlash against rising prices and shrinkflation. The fall equates to a reduction of 12% compared to the equivalent period last year and amounts to a fall of £200,000. The details emerged following revelations by the Daily Mail and Witch magazine that manufacturers are both shrinking the size of their Easter eggs and pushing up prices. Industry leaders blame rising crop costs and climate change, which have hit the cocoa harvests in West Africa. This year, the large Mars milk chocolate egg is down from 252 grams to 201 grams, a reduction of 20%, yet the price has remained the same at £3. The Twix milk chocolate Easter egg is down from 246 grams to 200 grams, and the Galaxy Minstrels Easter egg has been cut from 234 grams to 192 grams. Last year, Cadbury was selling the Dairy Milk Fruit and Nut Inclusions chocolate egg with a weight of 532 grams. This year, the closest equivalent weighs in at 400 grams. Nestlé Smarties Orange Easter egg, large one, is down from 226 grams to 188 grams. And Yulki Milk Chocolate Large Easter Egg is reduced from 242 grams to 196 grams. Research by Witch has identified some enormous price rises. For example, a Maltesers Truffles Luxury Easter Egg, 286 grams, is up from an average £8 to £13, which equates to a rise of 62.5%. At Asda, a Lindt 5 Gold Bunny Milk Chocolate 50 grams increased from £2 on average to £3.11 on average, up 55.5%. At Tesco, a Ferrero Rocher Golden Easter Egg 250 grams rose £10 to £15, up 50%. The sales slump data was collated by retail data experts Reap, who suggested the fall was driven by both prices and changes to the way supermarkets are allowed to display Easter eggs. New laws state that Easter eggs must be in specific aisles rather than being placed at checkouts where they are an impulse buy or parents could be pestered into buying. Reap said, "Easter egg sales have plummeted by 12% as inflation and legislation melts confectionery performance. Chocolate egg sales have dropped by over 600,000 units sold in the build-up to Easter. As a result," it said, "the total value of Easter egg sales thus far is down by £200,000 to £11.3 million. James Lamplew, Reap Commercial Director, said, "The evidence of dwindling Easter egg sales reflects a shift in consumer behaviour, with inflation and a more health-conscious Britain playing a big role in shaping the nation's baskets. With retailers having to satisfy HFSS, high fat, salt and sugar legislation, Easter eggs are only being sold in dedicated seasonal aisles, meaning less visibility for the customer, it comes as no surprise to see less shoppers opting for Easter eggs this year. He added, "Our data demonstrates that as prices rise, shoppers are recalibrating their purchasing habits, favouring essential items over Easter eggs." And finally, Pastor Jamie and I were chatting, and he was telling me about his early life. He said, "My first ever job was in an orange juice factory, but I couldn't concentrate. Have a blessed Easter."